the psalmist here in Psalm 46. So if you have your Bible, have Psalm 46. And this song was written in the context of problems, stress, and uncertainty. The writer was crumbling all around him. A nation is strong when we trust in God. The source of our strength cannot be in our government. The source of our strength cannot be in our economy. The source of our strength cannot be in our buildings or anything else. We must return to God. And but I want you to point, to notice one thing here. After verse 3, we have a word. What is the word there? Selah. Selah. In this word, what is the meaning of this word?
Pause and think.
Pause and think. Some say it's a musical term called crescendo. It's a time for us to stop to meditate. And we are going to do that this evening. You know, we are called to pause and meditate three different times so that we can comprehend what God is trying to tell us this evening. So let's read together the first three verses of Psalm 46. God is a refuge. Let us pray. Father, we want to hear your voice this evening. We want to receive the message that you have prepared for us. Help us to stop and meditate this evening, to hear your voice as we spend this half an hour in your house. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Here we are, look to the Creator, not the creation. And now, how can we be secure living in an unsafe world? The first thing here, we are reminded of three essential truths about God from this passage. God demonstrates we can depend on Him, on His protection. God is saying through the psalmist that we can depend on Him, on His protections. Our security is in God, not in this world. We are to look to the Creator, not to the creation. We are to love the giver, not the gift. We are to just seek His presence. The world has so small things to give us, but we seem to worship more the things that God has given us. He says, the earth can give way, the mountains can fall into the sea, and the waters can roar and foam, and the mountains quake. We are asked to turn to God, for He alone can be our refuge and strength. God is our ever-present help. He is our hope and nothing else. We have only one source of security. When the economic collapses, wars break out, natural disasters destroys our homes, our health deteriorates, our friends betray us, God is the only place of refuge. Now, on our world, with all the advancements in education, technology, and science, it's not a safer world today. In the past, we used to play on the street for hours. I didn't have a mobile phone to phone my mom that was out for hours. And we were okay. Now we have mobile phones, we have iPads, we have, I don't know, maybe something else that I'm forgetting. And then I fear for my children. We're concerned for our grandchildren. So the world is not a safe place. That is the reality. But here, the psalmist is saying that anything can happen at any second. Sometimes we have anti-terrorism drills, but there is no security. But the one who holds eternity says, I am your protector. I am here to help you. He says, the phrase ever-present help means that God is quick to give assistance. He himself is the one who has given us assistance in the past. The word trouble can mean affliction, distress, or tribulation. God is calling us today to not live in fear, because he is our refuge, strength, and help. In verse 2, the writer is imagining the worst calamity that could possibly hit his people as he describes earthquakes, volcanoes, eruption, mountains slipping into the sea. Even though, this is very interesting, when we read this verse, even though the earth gives way or the landscape suddenly changes, we don't have to be afraid. In the past, mountains provided refuge in times of war, and we were considered to be the most secure part of the nature. Now, the psalmist says, even if mountains go, we can find safety in his hands. Verse 3 describes the roaring waters of the sea, which is a picture of our lives when they are out of control. Roaring, you know, means that to be in great commotions, to rage, to be at war. When we face difficult situations in our lives, commotions is present as we wonder what will happen next. When the mountains quake, with their surging, refers to the pride. Sometimes you say, well, I am secure here. God is saying, well, that will be gone. And what he wants is humility. I live in Guayaquil. That is the city, you know, in Ecuador, and we have earthquakes most of the time. Last week they have an earthquake, 5 point something. The 2 weeks before, another earthquake. So sometimes you're like, you know, not like Japan, but. And then I remember in 1980 something, in early 90s as well, there was 2 big ones. You know what happened? The people were on the streets. On their knees. The churches were full. Now they were humble. But God wants something different. 2 Chronicles put it very, very nicely. And I love this verse because it speaks to me that this is what we are to do. Shall we pray that? This is a wonderful things to do as a church, as Penrall Baptist Church. Shall we read it together? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins. What a wonderful promise. That we are humble. That our mountains are not enough. Maybe the things we have, the education we have, the knowledge, we feel strong. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. The 3 first verses finish with the word Selah. We are going to pause to reflect silently upon God's protections and our need to seek refuge in him. Confess any personal sins, any sins in our church, and the sins of our nation right now. Let's spend a moment in silence before we continue reading this psalm. The second truth we need to have planted deeply in our lives is this: his presence. We can rely on his protections, but we rely in his presence. Our security comes from our faith, not from our circumstances. It's not because I have a secure job is not because I have good health. It's not because I have this knowledge. It's our faith, His presence in our lives. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High would dwell. God is within her. She will not fail. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts His voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God protects us when we seek refuge in Him, when we seek His presence. Fortunately, we don't have to run far away. You know, God is here. God is not in a temple there, in another place. God is here. So our security in an unsafe world depends on His presence. Now here we have a picture, a wonderful picture that is easy for us to miss. First of all, the city of God is Jerusalem. While it was a very beautiful city, this city has no river that ran through it like the other major cities. Babylon was building on the Euphrates. Egypt had the Nile. Rome had the river. Jerusalem did not have a river. But it had something even better, the very presence of God. God's grace flows through like a river, bringing gladness and joy, bringing peace. This image in the scripture is used to represent happiness, peace. God's presence is the centrality of Christianity. Because the Son of God is Emmanuel, God with us. Here, the psalmist says, hey, I am able to feel secure and happy, not because of these things. He's the king. No. He says in verse 5, God is within the city, and therefore Jerusalem will not fall. And in verse 7, the Lord Almighty is with us. He is not, his faith in the presence of God is what holds. What sustains him. Now, Jesus says, my peace I leave, my peace I want to give you. It's not like the world give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. When we pray, we don't pray for us to be free of problems, to be rich. We pray that His presence will give us what we need to carry on. There are those who live in prosperity. They have a lot of money and possession. However, they live in fear. We see brothers and sisters when we go to places that they have nothing. They are happy. Why? Because the presence of God is in them. You know, when sometimes I travel back to Ecuador and go to these very small villages around there, and then sometimes they don't have anything. They lack many things. And you know what? They say, come on, stay for dinner. We need to stay for dinner. Because they have joy in their lives. Security is not the absence of trouble, but the confidence and courage we have in the midst of trouble. This comes from the faith in God. We will not fear. Notice the last part of verse 5. God will help her at the break of day. No matter how bad things are, God's presence means that He will help us. When we wake up, it's a brand new day, brand new opportunities. I love that song that says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, new every morning. Grace is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Grace is thy faithfulness. Our confidence cannot be shaken because we have a God who is in complete control. His presence is there. We have courage, not because we are strong, but because we have God who is strong. He is powerful. He rules over. God is present with his people. When nations are in uproar and kingdoms fall, according to verse 6, uproar is the name, is the same word that is agitated the waves of the sea. God is still there with his people. We hear about terrorism, but he says we can trust him. We hear about maybe tomorrow something is going to happen. We feel so sad when society is crumbling down. God is still in control. Verse 7 concludes by saying that God of Jacob is our fortress. Now, this is very interesting because this is the word that the you remember Martin Luther, he wrote this hymn. He was inspired on this song. He says, that God is a mighty fortress, a stronghold never failing. But here, we have a word that sometimes we miss. Certainly, when I was preparing this, we missed this word. And it's the first part of this verse. He says, the Lord Almighty is with us. Now, this is the NIV, but the King James Version says, the Lord of hosts is with us. So the meaning here is that the host refers to all armies of heaven. The Lord Almighty has all the hosts of heaven ready to do his work. They are at our disposal. So when you struggle, when I struggle, the Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts is with us. His presence is with us. So maybe when something is going to happen to you, believe it or not, if we're in tune with God, there are an army of angels around you. That's what's happening. But sometimes we don't see it. You know why? Because we don't believe it. My grandfather was a pastor. He told me this story once, and he said that he used to go to a very, very, very dangerous area. He was a younger then, and he was a taller than me, but he went on his own to preach in a very remote area of his city. That was the north of the country. And he said that he went and come back and nothing happened. After a few weeks, three men came to church. And these three men, they happened to be members of a gang, a very dangerous gang. I remember Cecile experienced something like that when she was in that kind of area. Let me tell you, that was a dangerous place to be. And these men came to church, and they received Jesus. But one of these men, he noticed that one of the men wanted to talk to the pastor. Eventually, he managed to talk. He said, excuse me, Pastor Aurelio, this is the name of my grandfather. So what's going on? He didn't know who these men were. The only thing he knew that he was praying for. So, well, we came to the church because we were curious. I'm curious about what? You remember 3 weeks ago that you were visiting the area? He remembered. That you were walking with your Bible. We know that it's your Bible. We didn't know then. We were about to attack you. We wanted to rob you. But when we wanted to attack you, it was an army around you. They came from nowhere. So we came to the church because we realized that where is these people? We want to see them. They were strong. They are here, says. In that testimony helped for him to go now to that area. And that was one of the reasons his church started to grow. My friends, do you believe that? There are an army of angels at our disposal. So when people try to do something wrong against us, we don't have to fear. You know why? The Lord Almighty is with us. He has all his angels at our disposal. But sometimes we see what? Our circumstances. And we don't realize that we can be safe if we rely in his presence. We have another Selah. Selah. Let's pause for a moment and thank God for his presence with us. And I invite maybe one person or two persons after a moment of silence to give thanks for his presence in this church, in your life. Let's pause for a moment. And maybe one person lead us in prayer just to give thanks for the presence of God in our lives. How can we be secure living in an unsafe world? The final truth that we have here is his position, his protection, his presence, his position. Our security is in eternity, not in the presence. This world is not our home. The home that you are living now is not your home. It's there in heaven. If you are looking only at the present circumstances, you will be shaken. But if your life is grounded in eternity, you will stand firm. As Christians, our lives have an eternal dimension. We know that nothing that happens here can harm a change. Christ is with us for eternity. Like the psalmist says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord, how long? Forever. So our security, my security, is his position. He's in eternity. Psalm 46 verses 8 to 11 says, come and see the works of the Lord, the desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. As nation, as a church, according to verse 8, we are called to come and see the works of the Lord. Come and see the works of the Lord. This word means to run or pursue in order to see, which refers to gazing, contemplating, or perceiving. My friends, this is the church. If you are on holiday, you are somewhere else, look for a church. It doesn't matter who is preaching. It doesn't matter who is playing the instrument. It doesn't matter. It's go and see what's happening. We need to be excited about it. And sometimes, you know, it's another Sunday. Maybe they say, it's Sunday evening. Oh, well, there will be, you know, come and see what's up. That's what the psalmist is saying. Come and see what is happening. Who knows that God is going to perform miracles in the Sunday evenings. Come and see, says the psalmist. Sadly, we are not excited about church. Verse 9 shows us that his position as the Almighty God, he can make war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. The Assyrian Empire, my friends, this is the context, was at the time the mightiest on the globe. It has already overrun many of the smaller kingdoms. It had hoped to conquer the entire world, but God had other plans. Here we hear about United States, we hear about China, we hear about Russia, we hear about other countries. God has other plans. That is what the Bible is saying. His position. Oh, we are okay. My friends, don't say that. Something can change in this land just like that. Happened to the Assyrians, Babylon, beautiful. I would love to see Babylon how it was. The Bible describes, what is there? Desert. Wild animals. You see my point? Verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. To be still means to cast down or to let fall. You know, is the idea of not putting forth exertion, this picture of letting our hands fall to our thighs as we leave matters to God. We are not just to have a moment of silence or even just to be quiet. The purpose is so that we can know that He is God. We cannot even begin to know God experimentally until we become still before Him. That's the reason why we are doing experiencing God. When you do your Bible study, be still. Try to hear His voice. Surrender completely. Let God and let go. I don't like what I am reading. I don't like the verses I am reading. But we need to let God and let go. That is what the psalmist is saying. You know, when that happened, when only that happened, something is going to happen. He said, verse 10 says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. So when a church comes and we are still, we allow God to use us, He will be exalted in this city. He will be exalted in the UK. Notice the last part of verse 10. I will be exalted among the nations. As we quiet our souls and reflect upon His position, that He is the Lord. He is going to conquer. Oh no, but we don't have to say everything is this. No, everything is not the same. All religions are not the same. Because one day, this is going to happen. One day this is going to happen. Philippians chapter 2 verse 10 and 11. That at the name of whom? Jesus. Not at the name of somebody else. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. In every tongue. In Spanish, in English, in French, in German. He is the Lord. To the glory of God the Father. That is what the psalmist is saying. As I conclude this evening, the last two verses, verses 10 and 11 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Verse 11 is a great summary statement of this entire psalm, because the Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts, is who, with whom? With us. We can trust Him. Because His position, He's the supreme commander of the armies in heaven. He's present with us because of what He is. We can run for protection. Jesus Christ is the Lord of history. If you are struggling today, the Lord's in charge. So let's pause here at the final cella and be still before God and affirm the central truth of the scripture that He is supreme and He will be exalted among the nations. Let's pause for a moment before I conclude. After we leave the church tonight, still we have the Brexit problems. After we leave the church tonight, we still have wars. Maybe the media is not saying, but there are wars there. Wars that are about to start. We have political instability in some places. And we don't know what the politicians are going to do tomorrow. What or how can we can be secure in an unsafe world? How? Well, someone says that Christian faith is essentially a father movement. The theologian Tom Snell suggested that in today's church, the Father is forgotten in precisely the same way in the Holy Spirit was forgotten before the growth of the Pentecostal and Charismatic movement. We have forgotten God our Father. May the Lord help us to accept Him as a loving Father. How real to you is your Heavenly Father? Jim Packer says, if you want to know how well a person understands Christianity, he says,
find out how much he or she makes of the thought of being God's child and having God as his or her heavenly Father.
Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray for the fathers before we leave this place. Heavenly Father, we thank you because you are our fortress. We thank you because we can rely on you, because you are our protection. Because of your position, Lord. We thank you because we can rely on you, because of your presence in our lives. So, Father, we give you thanks for the many gifts you have given us, the gift of life and the gift of those who love us. And especially today, we give you thanks for the gift of our fathers. We ask your blessing upon our fathers who gave us rules to live by, standards to uphold, faith to live by, hopes worth dreaming of, and who bless our lives with their unselfish and unconditional love. Thank you for those good fathers, Lord. We ask your blessing upon the fathers who are unable to be with us today. May they know how much we love and care for them. We ask your blessing upon adopted fathers, that they may always know their special role of being true fathers. We ask your blessing upon fathers who have lost children through miscarriage, stillbirth, sickness, accident, and tragedy, Lord, that they may have your continuing strength and courage. Bless them, Lord. We ask your blessing upon those who want to be fathers or have another child, that they may practice patience and feel your love as they wait and hope. Bless them, Lord. We remember our fathers who have died, and for the unique way they reveal for us your love, we ask that you keep them in your care until the time comes for us to join them in your kingdom, Lord. Thank you for our fathers that are gone. We ask your blessing upon fathers standing here before us. Let the example of their faith, the fathers who are here this evening, that they will be an example to their children and grandchildren. Give them the strength to live the faithful and loving life that you call them to live. Protect them and guide them, Lord, all the fathers this evening. Keep them in your care and grant that their children and grandchildren may always honor them with a spirit of profound respect. So we ask your blessing, Lord, upon fathers this evening. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.